Hi, everybody, and welcome to MoCo's Most Famous. I'm Joe Yashroff, Director of Content at Montgomery Community Media in Rockville. Today, we're talking to the one and only Maury Povich, longtime television personality who first made his name locally in the 70s and 80s at WTTG, which is now Fox 5, hosting the 10 o'clock news, doing news and sports, I want to say, and Panorama, and then became a national TV fixture hosting A Current Affair and The Maury Povich Show, which later became Maury. He's done a whole lot more than that, but that's in a nutshell. This is very exciting for me. Maury Povich, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Joe, nice to be with you. I'm doing fine, and I'm very anxious because we're coming up on this big dedication at Shirley Povich Field, which, by the way, is, I mean, I just wish my father were alive to see it. It's his kind of field. It really is. It's a great tribute to him, and I want to thank Bruce Adams and all of the people who contributed to it.
It is. And of course, you're talking about your father, Shirley Povich, legendary columnist for The Washington Post, wrote for 75 years. Every time I see that or say that, it's just absurd that anyone would do anything for 75 years.
Right. Yeah. It's very interesting because if I added up all the time, I've been around this business since the time I was an assistant to the old Washington Senators broadcaster Bob Wolf. I've been around it for 60, and the thought of 15 more years is just daunting.
It is amazing. Well, people would be surprised that you say you've been at it 60 years, and if you don't mind me saying, I believe you're 82, and you look 60, right. So I'm not sure how you do that. But
I don't know. Good Washington genes, I guess.
Good genes. So I want to talk about the event, Saturday, November 6th, as you mentioned, at the Povich Field, where the Big Train baseball is played. And there's going to be, I call it a statue, they call it a sculpture, so I'm not sure which is the accurate, but regardless, it's your dad, Shirley Povich, interviewing Walter Johnson. So there are two sculptures or statues, and they're going to be together as you walk in. I was there yesterday, so I got to see the statues, but I didn't see them because it wouldn't let me. They were covered. They're waiting until the actual unveiling. But that's got to be just very exciting. I know that there are a lot of things named after Shirley Povich, but this one has to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it'll be there in perpetuity, which is awfully nice. So, but it's a fascinating project. It was the vision of Bruce Adams, who's running the field and the Bethesda big Train baseball team. And he called me up about it, and he says, I have somebody who's interested in it. I said, who is that? He said, well, you know the sculptures around Camden Yard of all the great Oriole baseball players? And I said, sure. I said, you mean Palmer and Ripken and Brooks and all those guys? He says, yeah. I said, well, he wants to do this sculpture. And he wants to do this sculpture because of my father's background and my father's, I guess, notoriety when it comes to his long, decades-long fight to integrate baseball, his decades-long fight to integrate the Washington Redskins. And his name is Toby Mendez. And his father was the CIA officer in Iran when the Iranian Revolution took place and those 60-some hostages were taken. In 1979, I think. And his father was the CIA officer, by the way, played by Ben Affleck in the movie.
Not bad. Argo.
Argo. And so Toby's the sculptor. He's the one who did all the sculptures at Camden Yards and in other places. And so he's the one who did it. And it was, and I was there from start to finish because I would go to his studio, which is kind of in a mountainous territory outside Hagerstown. And he would bring me back every so often. Well, did I get your father's clothes right? Did I get his eyes right? And we would make just little modifications, but for the most part, he was spot on.
That's amazing to kind of get behind the scenes on how this stuff actually works.
Yeah, and actually also consulted Walter Johnson's grandson, who wrote the book on him, Hank Thomas. And so Hank was able to go up there and kind of modify what his grandfather looked like.
So in a way, is it even cooler? It's not just your dad. It's your dad with Walter Johnson, two yeah. legends of Washington, D.C.
Yeah. My father would be so proud to be associated with Walter. He really, I'd say, just through the years that we talked about sports and talked about sports personalities, I mean, the man he held in the most, in the highest regard was Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like he said, you know, it was not because of his overwhelming talent as a pitcher, but his, he says it was because of his manners as a man. He said he was the most decent, humble, humane person he ever met in sports. Wow. And because of those reasons, I think he would be so gratified to be sitting next to Walter interviewing him, which he did many, many times during my father's career.
So now, Maury, when you're back in town and you go to a game, you walk into the entrance and there they are.
That's kind of overwhelming. You know, it's one thing to see my father's name, the press center at Nationals Park is named after my father, and that's nice. And we have a nice little exhibit of some of his memorabilia, but, you know,
this is a life-size.
Yeah. And to see also, a life-size replica is something else.
This is definitely another level. Also, your father, the Povich Center, the Shirley Povich Center of Sports Journalism at the University of Maryland, which I know you do a lot for, and full disclosure, I teach a class there.
I saw that in the latest weekly update from the Povich Center that you're teaching us a class.
I made it, huh? Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, I'm an adjunct professor there, and it's my mm-hmm. alma mater. My daughter went there, and it's a great place, and it's the Center for Journalism. You must be proud of that too. Part of the
memory
of the journalism.
We are, and Dad would have loved that because first George Solomon did a great job and founding the center and being the first director. And then Mark Hyman is there now, and he's doing a terrific job. And we have the Shirley Povich Symposium, by the way, on, you know, virtual this year. So if anybody, and it's all about free agency then and now. They have Kurt Flood's son, Kurt Flood Jr. is going to be there. Scott Boros. Yeah. I mean, to get Scott Boros to be on any kind of panel.
Super agent.
Joe Torre is going to be there. Tim McCarver is going to be there, who is a Kurt Flood teammate. It's going to be a spectacular thing on November 16th.
Yep, you said the date, Tuesday, November 16th from 7 to 8:30. I'll definitely be I'll be there virtually. So looking forward to that. And those are always great. You've had some, you know, Bob Costas in the past, and you've been the MC in some of the best kind of symposiums that I have been a part of. So,
right.
All right, Maury. So I want to ask you a little about yourself. So are you, what are you up to these days, if I may ask?
Well, I'm still doing my talk show. We're right in the middle of taping right now. Unfortunately, I can't have any audience this year because of COVID still being around, but I do my talk show. It's on Channel 50 in Washington. My research people have told me now that when it comes to daytime TV talk show hosts, I'm the GOAT. I'm the longest running talk show host in daytime in the history of TV. It's now been 31 years. So.
In the history of TV? Oh, my.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Oprah and Donahue, I guess, quit too early.
That's great. So what does that mean to you, the fact that you've been doing it longer than those
folks? It just means I'm lucky enough to hang around. I mean, you know, I feel like the Tom Brady of TV, of daytime TV.
That's a pretty good thing to feel like. Now, do you still have as much fun doing it now as you did a few years ago?
Yeah, I did. I do. It's very interesting. I mean, I get a lot of criticism from media critics about the subject matter that we deal with, whether they mm-hmm. be paternity tests or lie detector tests or things like that. And, you know, I always say, look, I think I'm doing a social service because everyone knows that if you can get two parents into a child's life, they have a much better chance at being successful in life than with a single parent. And if I can get guys who are denying that they're the father of kids in these kids' lives, when I prove that they're the father, I mean, I think it's good. And I also think it's good when they're not the father, because, you know, they're getting involved with a child that, you know, they think is their biological child, and he's not. So she's not.
So you obviously know about that stuff. You listen to it. Does it ever bother you? Do you use it constructively? You know, everybody wants to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, when I have a woman coming on to accuse a guy of being the father and he's not the guy, and she comes on again and there's another person, not the father, three, not the father, four people, not the father. You know, we have to have a nice talk about what her social activities are.
All right. So just briefly, I wanted to go back in time with you a little bit to WTTG before it was Fox 5.
Right.
You know, that's where at least I think that you made your name for yourself, you know, hosting the 10 o'clock show, Panorama.
Right.
So what were those days like back in the 70s and the 80s?
Boy, well, actually, it started, I went to Channel 5. When it started, the 10 o'clock news started in the fall of 1966. And this is a real good story. I don't think anybody knows this story.
Ah.
I hope the other person involved doesn't get upset, but this is what happened in 1966. Channel 5 wanted to do a news show. They had never done any news shows. They were the first station on the East Coast to produce a 10 o'clock news. No other station in the East had a 10 o'clock news, because it was always the NBC affiliate, the CBS affiliate, this ABC affiliates, and all their late news were 11 o'clock after the network programming went off. Channel 5 then, still, well, before Fox, was an independent station. It was owned by John Kluge. It was part of the Metro Media Broadcasting Company. And so he brought this young guy in from California named Bob Bennett as the general manager, and he started the 10 o'clock news. So he hired a man named Alan Smith, who was then the anchor of news in Baltimore, Channel 13. He came to be the news anchor. And they needed a sports anchor. And Bob's first idea to have a sports anchor was this unbelievably popular radio sports guy in Washington on WTOP named Warner Wolf. And so Bob wanted to hire Warner. And Warner came in, and this is how Bob tells it. He looked at Warner and said, "Warner doesn't seem to be tall enough. Warner doesn't seem to be tall enough to do the sports." You know, I mean, that's the way people thought back then. Meanwhile, Bob said also later on, how bad was I? Warner went on to be a network sports anchor. At first, locally in New York, who was an unbelievable anchor, sports anchor at WABC, and then Rune Arledge hired him on the network to do baseball. I mean, how wrong was Bob Bennett when it came to Warner Wolf? So I was next on the list, and that's how I got my job.
Wow.
And I don't know if Warner knew that or not. I don't know, but... Warner went on to New York very quickly after that. He, in the late 60s, he became a huge sports anchor in New York.
Yeah.
And I was always jealous because Warner got to New York before I ever got there. So I started there in the fall of 66. And then Bob had this other great idea. Nobody's doing news. Nobody's doing a Today Show type format around noon. Let's do a noon to two. First, it was for the first year, it was noon to three, daytime talk show.
Yeah.
And we had three hosts. John Willis came from Los Angeles, and a woman named Pat Collins came from Boston. And he looked around the newsroom to find out somebody. Well, I got somebody from LA, I got somebody from Boston. I got to have somebody local for a local news show. And I was the only one in the news department who was from Washington.
How about that?
So I was doing sports and the 10 o'clock news and started this show with the other two called Panorama, and the rest is kind of history.
That's great. So the fact that you're local and the fact that you were taller than Warner is the reason why you see him today.
That's it. That's what's happened. So that was 66. So that's what, 34. That's 55 years ago.
That's a great story. I've never heard that. That's great story. A couple of things. So you grew up in D.C., but also in Montgomery County. I think you lived in Silver sure. Spring, Wheaton, Rockville. Yes. And you went to Landon High School. So what are your memories of kind of Montgomery County? This is called MoCo's Most Famous. So what do you remember?
Well, I mean, Montgomery County was because I went to school at Landon, which is in Bethesda. I mean, it was a big part of my life. And not only that, after I got married the first time around, we lived first in Silver Spring and then in Wheaton and then in Rockville. So that's like 15 years. After I got married the first time. And so Montgomery County was, first of all, when I grew up in Silver Spring, I went to elementary school at Woodside Elementary in Silver Spring. And
isn't that where Dave Chappelle went?
Is that right? Is that where?
Well, no, did he, I might be wrong on that, but he did go to elementary school in Silver Spring. I might have the school.
You know, yeah. The only other person I know who grew up in Silver Spring and went to the same, and first of all, my wife went to Blair High School. I
mean, Connie Chung.
Connie Chung went to Blair High School. Lewis Black, our dear comedian friend, grew up in Silver Spring, Absolutely. Went to Blair High School. No, I don't think he went to Blair. He went somewhere else.
No, he did go to Blair, and his mom is still alive. She's 103.
Oh, yes. Because
he was on this podcast, and he did go to Blair.
Connie and Lewis and I are dear friends, and we see each other very much, very often, and we're very part of his big foundation for cystic fibrosis, mm-hmm. which he hosts every year. So, look, Connie went to school with Carl Bernstein. Connie went to school with Goldie Hawn. I mean, it was Celebrity City back then.
What is it about Montgomery County? What is it in the water? What is it about Montgomery County?
I don't know. I mean, when I was at Landon, we used to play BCC all the time. Is BCC still around?
Yes. Yes.
And so we used to play them. And we also played Wilson, for instance, in the city. But when I was going to school, this was before schools like Walt Whitman. I mean, there was no Walt Whitman in the 1950s.
That's where I went. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Whitman became a big school for people, not only in sports, I mean, athletes and celebrities as well. So
absolutely. It's the place to be from. So the show's called MoCo's Most Famous. Do I need to change it to MoPo's Most Famous for this episode?
Right. Yeah, right. No? Well, that's a very interesting, you know, when I was going to school back at Landon, a lot of people called me Mo. My mother hated it. She didn't, nobody, why can't people call you by your own real name, Maury? Why do I have to call you Mo? Some people called me Poe. And then I after years at Panorama and the 10 o'clock news, I moved to Chicago. And if you go down to a newsroom, since you worked in newsroom, you have a big chalkboard about where the reporters are, what stories they were covering that particular day. And so Pat O'Brien, another guy who went on to a great career at CBS. Pat O'Brien was one of my reporters when I was anchoring the news in Chicago. And he comes in and he says, yeah, I said, who is this new reporter they got there? Because they had initials up because it was an M period and a M and a period and a P and a period. Who's this guy Mopo? So that's stuck for the last 45 years.
It's stuck. All right. So a couple more things for you. So Connie Chung, also a legendary television personality and popular. How is she doing?
She's doing fine. Connie is in the middle of a years-long effort to write her memoirs, and she won't tell me. I haven't seen a sentence.
Really?
So I tease her all the time. I ask her whether she's gotten her family out of China yet. I don't know where she is in this thing.
Wow.
But I think she got a good lesson looking at all the reviews of Katie Couric's memoir. So I think you can expect something different.
All right. Well, that's something to look for. All right. I got to ask you about your golf game, because I know you're not a good golfer. You're a very, very good golfer. And I believe two-time club champion at Woodmont. And you used to be in that celebrity golf tournament that we watch on TV.
Right.
That Jim Karvelas, speaking of old channel people, started. How's the golf game? And how? When did you become so good?
Well, that's a Montgomery County story, too. I never played golf. When I was a kid, I was a classic baseball, basketball, football player at Landon, and those are the three sports we, first of all, those are the three sports I followed all the time. So that's what we had. This is before hockey, before anything. And when I finally, and at Channel 5, when I was looking at Channel 5, my father had joined Woodmont Country Club later in his years. And he said to me, it's the classic thing. He says, look, if you don't join before 30, you're not going to get the legacy discount. And I don't have $5,000 to buy you a membership at the Woodmont Country Club. So if you don't come in now before you're 30, forget about it. So I joined right before I was 30. I was probably, I don't know, maybe because of my high school athletics, I was probably a 15 to 20 handicapper when I first started. And then I got to be pretty good. And I won three club match play championships and two club medal play championships. And so I got to be pretty good. And then when I was 50, Connie bought me my first instructor, who's now been around me for 32 years, Peter Costas. And he came and really taught me. Yeah, and Peter Costas taught me the game. I'm, as Connie says, I introduced you to the golf god of golf, and now he's become the golf devil because you chase him around the country all the time. But in fact, next week I'm going back to Woodmont to play golf right after the dedication, because I'm still an out-of-town member. David Dorn, the head pro there, is the director of golf, is just terrific. He grew up there at Woodmont. And so, I mean, I was good enough at 60 to qualify for the U.S. Senior Amateur, and I played the match play at the U.S. Senior Amateur, played in three British Senior Amateurs. But now, I mean, I struggle. But it's very interesting, Joe. I'm listed as a 4 handicap, and that's fine. But if I shoot my age, I am very depressed. I'm very depressed.
Well, and I would celebrate if I shot an 82 and you would be depressed. That's the difference in levels. But shooting your age, for those that don't know, for those who aren't golf fans, that's a big, big deal. And you do it all the time. So that's pretty cool.
The only goal I set was I wanted to do it before I was 70. And so in the middle of my 69th year, I did it for the first time. So
that's even better.
That was good. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so last thought on the sculpture unveiling. You know, there are going to be some great guests there. I know the public can't go because they're limiting the people, but it will be live streamed. Go ahead.
There are going to be about 100 people, and a lot of them have been the contributors and the supporters of the field all these years. I mean, the field has been there for now. My gosh. I got to think almost right after my father died. So that's 1998. So
I
think it was dedicated in 1998. And one person I really am anxious to see, who I am so devoted to, is Don Graham, the former publisher of the Washington Post, whose mother, Catherine Graham, was the publisher, whose father, Eugene Meyer, was there to rescue the paper in 1932, and who my father, he was kind of like my father's surrogate father. And so Don, who has been so great to my family all these years and a big contributor to the field, is going to be there.
That's great. Maury, this has been such an honor for me, a treat. Thank you so much for spending time with us, and really have a great time at the unveiling on Saturday.
Thanks, Joe. I'm so happy to be with you. It brings back a lot of great memories. Thanks so much.
We could have gone on for 2 hours, but you don't have 2 hours, so we're going to wrap it up. And thank you, everybody, for watching, and see you next time on Moco's Most Famous, or is it Mopo's Most Famous? Either way, have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.